Well, one thing I learned at Short Course this last weekend was there was a guy, a doctor there by the name of Dr. Tom Clegg, and he was talking about revitalizing churches, and he's the president of this business called CoachNet, and what they've done is they've done these surveys over all of these churches and all these different denominations and pastors, and they got a survey done by 800,000 ministers so that they could figure out what were the top problems that ministers were talking about. And the number one problem was that pastors saw being in the ministry as dangerous, being a danger to family life. And so I would just like to thank you this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for how important it is for you to see me be with my family. For expressing to me the need that my family needs to come before. That I need to have time with my family. It is so good to know that we're being taken care of in such a wonderful way. So thank you so much. We left last week. What was our plan? What did we say? We did 5, 5, and 5. What were they? 5 minutes of anybody? 5 minutes of what? 5 minutes of the Bible. 5 minutes of prayer. And 5 minutes of, I heard it over here, fellowship, I heard from Isaac. So we talked about being, this week's taking 15 minutes, making 15 minutes in our day if we don't already. 5 minutes for prayer, 5 minutes for Bible, and 5 minutes for accountability and fellowship with someone. You don't have to raise your hands, but I'm just going to ask you, because you know in your hearts, did you go deeper this week? We talked about that being the starting place. And where you are at your spiritual life right now, did you go deeper than you have before? Because I was seriously challenged last week. When I understood that the amount that I value being in the presence of my God was the amount of time that I actually set aside to pray with Him. It's one of those things where don't tell me what you do, show me what you do. Don't tell me your priorities. If I want to know your priorities, I'll look at 3 months of your calendar and your credit card receipts. Right? How much has God been on our calendars? That will show us how much we love being in His presence. And I was seriously challenged by that this last week. It just really opened my eyes. We need to understand that the deeper that we go personally, the deeper that each one of you go, and the deeper that I go, the deeper this body goes. Because what have we learned that Paul teaches? We are all one. We're all interconnected. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we are one body with many parts, but we all have equal importance, and we all depend on one another. The deeper we go, the closer the body goes, the closer we go, the closer we come together. I think we need to look at ourselves individually and know that we all have a positive impact on the body the more that we do. The deeper we go, the more it impacts the body. This is all just a little review of what we've been talking about these last few weeks. What are some of the things, the attitudes, the attributes, what are the things that we need in our body to keep it healthy? Just off the top of your head, what's probably the number one thing it should be? Food? Okay, for the human body. Now how about the spiritual body? Love. That's the number one thing that Paul says. Without love, everything else is pointless. And as he teaches in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, without that kind of love, how does a body get together so well? So we need love. We need one more. Unity? Fellowship. Unity, yes. We need to come together. Fellowship connects us. And as we learned last week, fellowship motivates us to do good and to be connected in the body. And for spiritual wellness, we need God, because we know that this is God's church, not our church. We need to be able to learn from one another. And one of the hardest things, but one of the most important, is to realize that we are all equal. And God has placed us all in this body with a specific plan. We are all equal. I know that we've preached about this, and we've talked about this, and yes, I'm going to kick this horse. I don't care how long he's been dead, because it's the most important thing. It's not enough to just hear it, is it? It's not enough to just hear the Bible. It's not enough to just hear about Christ's salvation until you do it. What does it mean? The example that I think of, besides myself, but if we look at ourselves individually, and we truly look at ourselves and our gifts and open our hearts, we understand that everyone here is an example of what it means to be completed by someone else. Because is there anybody in here who can say that they're complete? Is there anybody in here who says that they don't need the gifts and the love that is in this fellowship and in this community? Okay, well that's good. That was the right answer. And if you wanted to raise your hand, just tell me after church. But for myself, there are times when I have to remind myself that I have been placed here for God's specific purpose. Now, obviously, going into this, my wife and I are like, you know, we're going to get written off because we're young, aren't we? Yeah, that's why we wrote off the job in the first place. We're young. In the first 6 months, I have been called kid, child. In the first couple weeks, banger's boy. Which is kind of catchy. I was like, that could be, you know, banger's boy. And the one that I didn't like the most was Pipsqueak. She's lucky she was a woman. But Pipsqueak. And the fifth, I'll see if I can get this right, but I was riding dirt bikes with Clark and Scott, and we went over to see one of his buddies' house, and he wanted to see my face, so I took off the helmet, and he has a little bit of a draw. Shoot, you're just a baby. My favorite one. Of course we're going to expect that. We knew this coming in. Why? Why do we expect it? Because people are taught that wisdom and gifts come with age, aren't we? But wisdom does come with age, but the age of the heart. And the age of the heart is not measured in years. The age of the heart is measured in time with God and experience with God that have affected you. That's how you measure gifts, and that's that's where wisdom comes from. I don't care how long you've been in the world. My dad's favorite saying, I got 30 years of experience. And my dad's reply, no, you got 1 year of experience repeated 30 times. Lucas likes that one too. That's why he always repeats it. But wisdom comes from the heart, and the heart comes from God. And wisdom in the heart comes from time with God. That's why it's so important for us to go deeper. Now, what really breaks my heart is when somebody tells me that they don't feel they need a pastor anymore. Okay, well, would you please tell me how to arrive? Because I don't think I've ever arrived before. I really don't think I know I will never arrive until I am before God. That is my destination. And people say that. When they say that, it's not because of who the pastor is, most of the time, I would think. But it's because they don't understand how the body works. They don't understand their dependence. They don't understand their need to be mentored. Now, Rick Bachman put it in a very good way. I can mentor Nathan, but Nathan can also mentor me. Understand, I can mentor every single person here in at least some area. And every single person here can mentor me in some area. That's the attitude we have to have within this body. Everybody has something to give. Every part needs every other part. Some of the greatest examples, and I'm not just talking about adults, I'm talking about all the way through children. Because aren't they the new parts of the body, the growth, the vital parts? I can think about the examples and lessons that have come from Tyler. And I think some of the greatest examples come from a child's heart. And why? Because isn't a child's heart the closest thing to the pure heart of the way God designed us to be? Because it hasn't been corrupted yet by the world. It hasn't been influenced by all these things. Now, I think about this, and if you want to know what it's like, the excitement that we should feel when we're in the presence of God, look at a child when they get excited. Because when Tyler gets excited, when he was, I don't know, probably when he was 18 months or 2 years old, he couldn't really speak or anything, but his eyes would get big, and his face would get all lit, and he would do this thing where he sucked in air, and then he'd start to shake. And he still does it. Now, I mean, this morning, we were talking about gardening. And remember, he doesn't say his S's, so he expressed the need to Chandra for a hovel. Mommy, I need a hovel. And I'm like, what is he talking about? He needs a shovel. Oh, he wants to go garden. But when we talked about that it was going to get warm and that he was going to go get to ride on his mower because he loves to mow, and that he was going to get to go shovel and he was going to get to see raised tractors in the field, he gets all excited and he starts to shake. But when was the last time that we got so excited that we shook in the presence of God? Let's not use the word shake. How about quake? After all, isn't that where Quakers came from quaking in the presence of God? But when was the last time that we felt that the presence of God was so important that we were quaking because we were so excited to be there? If you don't know what that's like, just watch a child get excited. They can't control it. It's supposed to be uncontrollable. Now, whether or not someone has a gift to offer you, now this is where my heart had to change over the years. Whether or not someone has a gift to offer to you or a mentorship to offer you does not depend on them. It depends on you. It doesn't depend on their heart. It depends on my heart. If I'm going to let anybody mentor me, my heart has to be open to letting them mentor me, right? Because when Chandra and I first got married, she'll admit I was a very different person. I would look at people and I would pick who I wanted to be mentored from because I didn't see everybody as equal. I didn't see that everybody had something to offer me. And I certainly didn't see that you could learn stuff from kids. I had to have a child to learn that on my own. But now that my heart has been opened, I understand that everybody has something to offer me, just as I have something to offer everybody, because in this body, as Paul preaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that we are all equally placed with equal gifts, and even if some gifts seem greater, there's something about them that bring them down, that bring the others up, that make us all work together and make us all equal, and we have to have that attitude in this body to work. And that's how I know that whether or not someone accepts me as their pastor, whether or not someone accepts me as their spiritual mentor, it's not my heart, it's their heart. And I understand that. Just as it is, as we accept each other and our gifts. So, what is the condition of our hearts towards one another this morning in this meeting? And not only that, what affects the conditions of our heart? What affects the conditions of my heart towards you and your heart towards me? Now, when somebody calls me pipsqueak, it kind of affects the condition just a little bit, right? I got to get working out, so like, sticks to just young, not the small stuff. Oh, dear. What affects the condition of our hearts is so important because our hearts have to be able to be connected with the rest of the body, because that's what opens us up to be able to work together. That's where the love comes from that Paul teaches about. One's ability and willingness to open themselves up to the rest of the body or just to someone depends on your relationship with them, doesn't it? If I have a friend who I tell them something, they just go and spread it around, or I can't trust them with it, or they're going to think poorly of me, or they don't understand what I'm talking about, I'm probably not going to tell them because our relationship has taught me not to. It has affected the condition of my heart. Because to open up your heart means you're being vulnerable to someone. You're letting out personal information. You're letting out feelings, goals, dreams, hurts, pains. That's what it means to really open your heart with someone, not just talking about the weather, even though the weather hurts sometimes. But to really open up means to be vulnerable. And Paul says, once again, in 1 Corinthians 12, there is to be no dissension in the body. So to make it all easier for us to come together, we have to get rid of the dissension and build the trust. So today, let's study one of the biggest causes of dissension in the body. Dun, 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 and gossip, as she said last week. I hit the cross. Anybody notice that I fixed the cross a little bit so we can all see it now? All right. Gossip. Man, does anybody here think that gossip causes dissension or maybe breaks down trust? And we all know what it is, right? Does anybody out there have a really good definition for gossip? Okay, I don't either. But we all know what it is. It's spreading information or rumors about someone else, and it's usually got some bad intentions or bad results, or it's not accurate, or it's something along the nature that it's not truth, but you tell it anyway. Okay? Now, the first step in dealing with gossip, I think, is recognition. When someone starts talking to you, if the phrase starts with this, and I've heard this many times, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but that's where you cut it off. All right, that's just a dead giveaway. And also, have you heard the latest on this and that? Guard yourselves and guard your hearts for the information that is coming at you. Either shut the person off or shut your heart down from taking that information inside. Because what we need to understand is that the content of gossip is often distorting of the truth, right? I mean, last week we had, what, four of us here, and it got something about friends to a monkey in a zoo and something in just a matter of just a couple people. Basically, because I didn't actually hear what is it, Aiden or Waylon said, and so I mentioned I heard a monkey and a zoo and some friends. So that's how fast the truth gets distorted. So I probably shouldn't be saying this, but have you heard the latest on? It distorts truth. And you know, when gossip comes to you, you can't trust it because who knows how many hands it's been through. It's not first hand, probably not second hand, third hand, fourth hand, fifth hand. And as it keeps going down the hand, it gets dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. Gossip, doesn't it usually feel kind of dirty when you get it? And isn't it usually designed to bring someone down a little bit? Kind of poke them a little bit, kind of brings them down because for some reason we think they're better than us or something. Gossip can feel like a drug. As it says in Proverbs, gossip goes down to a man's inmost parts like choice morsels. Gossip is like a drug, and I know what this is like because I had this friend, Matt Bishop, in high school, and Matt and I did everything together. Except I had more girls following me around because I was a little more in that circle, I guess. I don't know. But we did everything together, and it would always confuse me, and I would just be dumbfounded when Matt would know what was going on and I wouldn't. Somehow, the gossip circle stopped right here, included Matt, but not me. And so he'd be talking, being like, what are you talking about? It's like, well, this and this, and don't you know? Like, no, I don't know. Where do you know this stuff? Well, so-and-so told me. Oh, well, I guess I'm just friends with you. I'm not friends with so-and-so. But I wanted to know. Doesn't it feel kind of bad when you're out of the loop and you feel like you should be knowing something that they know, but you don't know? It's kind of addicting, isn't it? You got your people. Who here has their, you know, don't raise your hand. But who here has their people that they know they can go to if they need to know what's going on? Because they always know what's going on. In the church I came from, you had to be very careful because the gossip chain started. I'm not going to say where it started, but it started very high up. Not with the pastor, but where the gossip chain started, It didn't end, and it would circulate. And there was definitely a group of gossipers who would just get together, and that was what they did. Talked about people. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13 says, a gossip betrays a confidence. What does that do? It destroys your trust. Proverbs 16:28 says, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. That's saying that it destroys your trust and creates separations. We don't need that in the body, do we? Proverbs 20:19 says a gossip betrays confidence once again. So avoid a man who talks too much. Shut off that person if they enter the butt after I shouldn't be saying this. In 3 John chapter 10, Apostle John is talking about this leader, and he's all about himself. He's not about God. He's not about the apostles. And so he's gossiping about them. And what he says is the gossip that this man is doing is malicious. Malicious. That's a pretty big word, isn't it? I looked up in the thesaurus and the dictionary about malicious, and the definition of malicious is hateful. Gossip is hateful. See also awful, bad-natured, bitter, despiteful, envious, evil, evil-minded, injurious, jealous, low, petty, and wicked. Are we seeing gossip for what it really is now? Gossip is such a pretty little word. You know, it just kind of flows off the tongue. It's got those gossip, you know, it's just, it's kind of bouncy. And but do we see it for what it really is? Proverbs 26:20 says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. There can be no gossip in this meeting. There can be no gossip in the body of Christ. It causes dissension. There's no way around it. If your heart in conveying information to someone else is not for the love of that person or out of concern, or because you're going to someone who's trusted and you want advice, and maybe you don't mention names, but you just went on the subject. If it's not that, it needs to stop. And you are the only one that can stop it. Gossip possesses no quality of love and destroys the body. Romans chapter 1, verses 29 through 30. And here what Paul is talking about is people who have turned away from God. People who have chosen sin over God. We'll start at 28. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning and disobey their parents. Let's back up. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. It's not really a word that I think we want to be associated with, is it, when it's associated with all those other words? Do we see how dangerous gossip is? We see how hurtful it is, what it does to a heart. There's a reason why we have a hard time opening our hearts to other people. Because it hurts when your heart gets hurt. It hurts when somebody breaks that trust. It hurts when somebody gossips about you. Question this morning, are we careful about the reputation of others and our family? And that's in our discipline. Are we careful about the reputation of the people in our family, in our whole family, in the body of Christ? And do the words we say build or do they destroy? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message that you've brought for us this morning. And I ask that you would just preach it right into our hearts, that as we go this week, as things spread and as things come, Lord, I just pray that you would give us the strength and give us the desire to care for people more and to love people more than to listen to the gossip, Lord. And just write in our hearts, beat it into our souls, Lord, into our beings, how important it is to be together in this body. How important it is to love one another and to cherish the gifts that everyone else has to offer everyone else, Father God. And we thank you for designing us this way, Lord, that we are all equal before you. Amen.